intense. What neighborhood you're going to live in, what state, what country, wherever it may be, it feels like this moment in time, you've got to plan your entire life. At least that's what it felt like for me. As a junior, planning to figure out where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, it was overwhelming. But at the same time, it was quite easy. It was a decision that had to be made. And for me, I loved the ocean. I loved anything and everything to do with water and with the ocean inside. And so naturally, when asked, what was I going to do with my life? I wanted to do something with the ocean. So as we researched with my guidance counselor of jobs and opportunities, I came across this idea of marine biology. And so that's what I ran with. I looked at schools and I looked at opportunities that would give me a chance to do marine biology. And of course, Alabama was my pride state. That's where I'm from. That's where I grew up. And so they have a marine biology program. So I applied there. I got accepted. And off to Alabama I was going. At least that's what I thought. I had this magical plan, this ultimate goal, that I was going to go to Alabama and be on campus in Tuscaloosa for 2 years. And then I was going to go down to the marine lab in the Gulf of Mexico. Then I was going to head to Hawaii for my postgrad, and then head to Australia to work at the Great Barrier Reef. Obviously, that was an ambitious goal, a plan that I laid out, and a plan that we aren't there yet. But ultimately, what happened is I had this whole plan, everything laid out, step by step, applications, papers, internships, everything laid out. I knew what I was going to do, and I set out to do it. But God had a different plan, a plan that I see now I never asked for, a plan that I never sought, a plan that I should have from the beginning, but now know I didn't. A plan that brought me from going to the University of Alabama to going to the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. A plan that was leading me to marine biology, but a plan that led me to ministry. A plan that was taking me in God's path. A plan that was taking me where God wanted me. A plan that hopefully is what God wants and is, because he's led me every step of the way. A plan that I didn't create. A plan that I didn't initially think about. A plan that God had all along. And a plan that I should have sought from the beginning. But what happened is each step of the way, God opened the door for me to be where he needed me to be. From going to Alabama, I went to UNC Wilmington. I got plugged into Baptist Campus Ministries. I got plugged into being a youth pastor. I got plugged into ministry. And what God was letting me see is this is where he wants. And from there, the ambition of going to Hawaii and going to Australia changed to going to seminary and studying God's word as much as possible. And from there, going to seminary was, okay, I want to do international church planning and head overseas. And from there, God was like, hey, I want to bring you to this small town of Creedmoor. I want to lead you to kids and to children and to youth and to the families here in Creedmoor. And I want to lead you to help them know about me and make God known. And so here I am in a plan that God has unfolded, and a plan that I hope to continue in, because it's the plan God has for me. And what I want us to see is that if we're honest with ourselves, we make plans and we make goals, and we have to. But sometimes we make plans and we make goals without ever seeking what God has planned and the goal God has for us. And so just like James in chapter 4, what I want to challenge you today is to look at planning with God's will in mind. Planning at what God wants in your life and in ours. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and study your word today. To be here at church, to be here with fellow believers, and maybe even to be here with people that don't know you. Lord, that they can come to know you today. Lord, let your word be made known, and let your will be done, so that we all may know you and make you know. In your name I pray. Amen. So here at the end of chapter 4, James is setting the stage to remind us of who we really are compared to who we think we are, of what we're supposed to do compared to what we think we're supposed to do. He's addressing how we're supposed to deal with God's will, with his plan, with his goal, and how we deal with it improperly and properly. And so if you will, look back at chapter 4 with me. We're going to read it once more. And in verse 13, God's word says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." So James opens up this passage talking about a businessman. If you're ever in a business, you know that you've got to make plans. You've got to make goals. You've got to pursue them. And so this businessman was doing that. He was making a plan of what he was going to do, where he was going to go, exactly how long he was going to be there, and how he was going to make his money, and for how long he was going to do so. And just like that businessman, we fall into the same category. We make plans, we make goals, and we plan out what we're going to do, the house we're going to live in, where we're going to be for the rest of our lives, or at least for this year or next year or the year after that. And the thing is, planning isn't a bad thing. But it's what's behind the plan that matters. We plan without seeking what God's will is, and we plan to fail. Because without God's will, our plans have no guarantee of happening. They have no guarantee of coming to pass. If we plan with no intention on jumping on board of what God has in store, then we plan to do everything but what God has in store. Instead, we have to make a plan. And what we do, just like this business person, is we make a plan of what we want to do, of what we desire, of what we want, and we hope that God's going to jump on board of our plan rather than us being on his plan. Because ultimately, this is what we think we are. We're a person that gets to control our destination, that gets to control our time on earth, that gets to control our durations, our activities. We think we're somebody that's in control of everything. But ultimately, who we really are is a mist in the wind. A person that's here for just a short time. A person that's here for one glimpse of a moment. A person who is dependent on God and his will. A person who is dependent on the one who controls everything. The one who tells us where we'll go, what we'll do, who we'll be. We're dependent on God. And when we fail to seek God, we fail to show others who God really is. Because if he is the one who is in control, yet we act like we're in control, we'll never have a chance to show who God is. If we are believing that God is one who holds us in his hands, who guides us, who leads us, who directs us, yet we never seek his direction, we fail to show people that he can lead us. And if we believe that God is the one in control, yet we don't give him the control, we fail to show who God is. And we have this attitude of self-sufficiency. We believe that we know best. We believe that we can do best. And we believe that we have what it takes to do everything on our own. If we have this mindset that this businessman has, this attitude of self-sufficiency. But the thing is, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the rest of the day. Yet we live as if we're guaranteed forever. We live as if our plans are set in stone. We live as if we get to decide what happens for the rest of our life. But that's what James is warning us against, the improper way to look at the will of God. That we don't know what the future brings, but God does. We don't know how long we'll be here on the earth, but God does. And what James is trying to get us to see is that we need God. We need him to save us. We need him to protect us. We need him to guide us. We need him. And so instead, if we think for one second that we don't need God, then we live a life as if we don't have a God. But ultimately, what we see and what we're going to find is that if we live life without God, we're going to go this way, we're going to go that way, but ultimately, we're going to go God's way. Save the heartache. Seek God's will. Because ultimately, God's going to lead us where he wants us and where he needs us, and we can either jump on board of that, or we can be like Jonah and run as far away, only to go right back where God wanted us and smell like a fish in the process. But ultimately, we have to follow what God wants us to do, because that's what God is going to do. He's going to use us for his plan, and we should jump on board of that. And we should do it with an attitude of seeking and obeying him. Rather than seeking our own pleasure and our own desire, the proper way to look at God's will is to obey, to seek it, to put it above everything else. And the thing is, many of us have busy schedules. We have to make plans. We have to have goals. If we don't, we're going to fall behind. We're going to fail to meet deadlines. We're going to fail to do many things in life. Because if we don't set goals and if we don't have ambitions, we don't have motivation to do it. And if we don't have motivation to do it, then we're never going to. And so we have to push ourselves, and we have to plan, and we have to prepare. And that's not the problem. The problem is doing all of that without seeking God first. And God wants us to work diligently at everything and work hard at what he's called us to do. But he wants us to do what he's called us to do. And so we have to seek that plan. We have to focus on that plan. And as James says in verse 15, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Our plan of everything we do should have this caveat of if God allows. That I will do this if God allows. I will go get a degree in marine biology if God allows. I will buy this house if God allows. I will take this job if God allows. I will move to this place if God allows. That we plan with this caveat of seeking God's will. That whatever we do and whatever we want, that we be willing to follow God and wherever it takes us. That we may want to buy this house, but he wants us to buy this one. So we change and do that. That he may want us in this path and we want this one. So we change to go to his. That we live with this flexibility in mind of following God's will. That whatever he takes us and wherever he goes, we go with him. No matter if our plan is the same as his, we follow his above our own. But another important matter is that we got to plan as we're doing it. That if we see God directing us in this way, we plan to do that. Right? If we don't plan, we fail to follow God's will as well. That if he was pushing me to ministry and I said, okay, I'll just jump in and not plan for it, then I'm not going to be as effective as I could be. If it was like, okay, hey, be a youth pastor, but I don't go to seminary to study and I don't learn and I don't help, then I'm not going to be effective in God's will. So we have to plan and we have to make changes and we have to prepare for what God is calling us to do. But we have to do it with a mindset of making God known in it all. As David Platt says, don't live your life like you're going to be here forever. Instead, live and plan and work like your life is short and like you don't want to waste it on worldly things. We have to have a kingdom mindset when we're making plans, when we're pursuing God's will, that we want to be a part of this grand story, this grand narrative that God is displaying himself across the nations and across the generations. And we want to jump on board of that. And we want to plan, and we want to prepare, and we want to do in accordance to God's will. But we want to remain flexible as God leads us, to change as God directs us. But we also want to prepare. Oftentimes, if you know me, I've been accused of having FOMO, which stands for fear of missing out. I've had a hard time for planning for things, because ultimately, I would rather not plan for something than to have my plans not come to pass. It's easier just to say, I'll make it if I'm there, rather than, okay, I'll be there. But the thing is, we don't have a license not to plan. James isn't sitting back and saying, hey, in case you're missing out on something or afraid you're going to miss out on something, you don't have to plan anything. What James is saying is, yes, you got to plan. You got to prepare. That if God is directing you this way, do it and follow it and plan for it and prepare for it. We don't have a license not to plan, but we also don't have a license not to plan without God. We are to plan, we are to prepare, we are to focus, but we are to seek God as we do so. And as we plan, we must plan in accordance to God's will and not our own. We are to seek God, we are to seek His will, and we are to do the will of God. And the last two verses in chapter 4 remind us of something very important. It calls us to depend on God rather than brag on our own independence. It's a call to remind ourselves that not only are we called to follow God's will, we're called to obey it. In the last two verses of chapter 4, God's word says this: as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. See, these business people, they were bragging about how they could do it all by themselves. They said, I've got the plan. I've got the things in motion. In 1 year, I'm going to be rich because I'm going to this place. I'm doing this thing. I'm selling this much and I'm making this much. They were bragging about the ability to do everything they needed to do on their own. They didn't need God's will. They didn't need God's guidance. They didn't want it. They had their plan. And they didn't see that God was in it. And they didn't see that they needed God in it. Because oftentimes, we do the same. We think, hey, I can get there on my own. I can do it. I'm strong. I got a degree in this. I've got people that can help me. I don't need to seek God. I can do it on my own. And the thing is that James is trying to get us to see is that if we don't seek God's will, we're not obeying God. In fact, we are sinning. You see, oftentimes we think of sin as actively doing something that God says not to. For instance, if God says not to lie and we lie, we sin. If God says not to covet and we covet, we sin. And if God says not to do this and we do that, then we sin. But sin's more than just not doing or doing something that God says not to. Sin is also not doing something that God says to do. Right? If God says to care for the needy and we don't, then we've sinned. If God says to love your neighbor and we don't love our neighbor, then we've sinned. So sin is doing what God says not to and not doing what God says to do. And so if we set our lives out to make plans and to focus on what we are to do tomorrow and the next day and for 50 more years or however long we think we have and plan, and we do it without God, we are sinning in our planning process. Because if we don't do what God wants us to do, we are doing the same as doing what God doesn't want us to do. We can't just ignore this call to seek God's will. We have to seek His will. We have to do what God wants us to, and we have to seek Him as we plan, as we prepare, because He's the one in control. He's the one who knows what our future holds. And we would be naive and we would be crazy to think that we can make a plan without seeking the one who knows all plans. And so our response should be to seek and to do the will of God. That we are nothing but a mist in the wind. We don't know how long we're going to be here on the earth. We must seek God and what He wants to do while here. And we must obey whatever He calls us to do, wherever He calls us to go. We must seek and obey the will of God. And so my challenge for you today is to do just that. Seek and obey. Whatever God is calling you to do, seek it out. And whatever he calls you to do, obey it. And perhaps you're here today and you don't know God. You're sitting out there and you're like, I mean, how am I possibly to seek and obey God if I don't even know who he is? If I don't even have a relationship with him? The first part of seeking him is to come to him. You see, just like the businessman in this story, every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has disobeyed God. Every one of us is in need of a Savior. And the first step in seeking and obeying God's will is to seek God to save us, to forgive us of our sins. God knew that we were going to sin all along, so he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins, to take away everything that separates us from him, and to bring us back into right relationship with him if we believe in Jesus. So our first step to seeking God's will today, if you don't know him already, is to follow the words of Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Seek God for his salvation that he can bring to you. And if you know God, and you're sitting here, this is great. I already know him. I'm trying to follow his plan. My challenge to you is try harder. Seek his will in everything we do. Wake up every morning seeking God's direction in what you're to do that day, tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that, and every day from here on out. Seek his will. Seek his plan. Seek what God has in store for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come and study your word, to see this focus and this call on your will for our lives. Lord, that we have an opportunity today to seek you and your guidance. Lord, that we can't do it on our own. Lord, that we need you. Help us all to seek your will rather than living a life like we are in control. Let us seek the one that is in control. Let us seek you. In your name I pray. Amen.